Oh, man. I am excited to share the word with you this morning. I am just so excited. I was just sitting there in worship, listening to the worship band, and it was like I was watching the Holy Spirit settle on every single person as the worship band led us into the presence of God today. And I'm so glad the children who we've sent up to kids ministry got to experience that little bit of God's presence today as well. And I'm so glad God's presence is here because I am not capable of delivering this message by myself. I need Jesus to be a part of this picture, because if Jesus isn't a part of what we do, everything we do is wasted. And so with that, I want to welcome you to where today we're looking at the second message in the series that we just started last week, In His Footsteps. That's what it says on these wristbands. I'm not going to go into detail, but I had the opportunity to share because of these wristbands as well in the last week. I'm so excited about that. And with that, what we're looking here to do in this series is to explore what it looks like to learn, live, and lead according to Jesus. He's the center of what we're doing here at this church and should always be the center. And with that, Ben last week shared this scripture here with us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This here is the first scripture of John's gospel. And you want to know what these scriptures tell me? Jesus is incredible beyond human comprehension. In Ephesians, Paul says we need the literal power of God to know how much Jesus loves us. And he is so amazing in so many different ways. That's one of the reasons why we share testimony of God working in our life, because God is working here. And we need to be encouraged by those who have been able to share about who Jesus is. But I want to just bring your attention to this last line here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. When I walk through this world, when I look at parts of my own life, I know darkness. I see darkness. Actually, every single religion in the world agrees that there is a problem, but only Jesus is the light. That's what we as Christians have unique to us. And he calls us to step into the same footsteps that he did, to be little lights in the darkness. Vessels for Jesus working in our lives. Our hope is that the darkness will never overcome Jesus. And therefore, that darkness is never going to overcome us either. Then after that, John's gospel says these words here. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Now, I'm going to clarify here, there's a higher chance that I will get tongue-tied in this message. You see the John at the bottom here, the John 1:6, that's the gospel author, Jesus' disciple, the writer of the book. And the man sent from God called John is John who we sometimes call John the Baptist, the one who baptized Jesus. And this man is very significant for us today because we're going through the Gospel of John as a part of this series. And with that, John the Baptist is the first normal human spoken of in this gospel. And there's this question that I have for each of us here. And that question is, who is John the Baptist? And I'm going to say here that he is the man we barely know, because he rocks up on the scene and then has gone so, so quickly. He's not a full part of the Gospels. In many ways, he's just a part of its introduction. But with that, as we discover who John is and discover what God has for us today, I just want to pray over this message and that God would anoint these words. So if you would pray with me, that would be great. Lord God, you are amazing. You are incredible in so many different ways. You go beyond our understanding, yet you love us so well. And Lord, we can know you. Each and every one of us can know you, Jesus. And so, Lord, I ask that you would come and reveal yourself to each and every person here, myself included, as these words are delivered. May an anointing fall on these words, an anointing that transforms people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So I just thought it would be interesting to quiz you guys at the church before I go into who John the Baptist is. I'm wondering what you guys can tell me about John the Baptist. So if someone wants to put up a hand, I can point to you and then you can shout out some fact or interesting point about John the Baptist here. Yes, Robin. Yes, his mother's name was Elizabeth. Elizabeth is actually related to Mary. And Mary is the mother of Jesus. So as an extension of his mother's name being Elizabeth, we can actually tell that John and Jesus were cousins. They were really, really close. So thank you, Robin, very much. What can other people tell me about John the Baptist? Well, yes, Ian.
Coming down from the Transfiguration, Jesus identified him as Elijah, we must come before
the fire. Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that was identified about John was that he came in the spirit of Elijah. Now, Elijah was a famous prophet who spoke of Jesus coming in the future. And John does the same thing. He points people towards Jesus. And we believe some of his mannerisms and choices were similar to Elijah as well. I'll take one more. Yes, in the middle here. His inception was miraculous in that space. So his grandfather, Zechariah, an angel came and announced John's coming. And it was a powerful thing that happened and incredible things. Father, okay. Oh, sorry. And Zechariah was the high priest of the temple. Did I get that one right? I hope I got that one right. Oh, phew. Oh, just freaking. Lord, I need more of you. This isn't about me. I make mistakes. You don't. Please come. John's birth was pretty incredible and pretty amazing. And there is so, so much about John. I joked at the staff meeting that we needed a 6-hour lecture to talk about everything about John. Are you guys ready for a 6-hour lecture? Oh, I am so happy there was at least one person there that said yes. That is more than I expected. But, I'm so happy. I'll start a podcast. It'll be called 6 Hours Lectures with Jordan About Jesus. I reckon that would be pretty cool. But when I think about John, I've got to be honest, this here is the scripture that comes to mind. John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. I remember I've done kids ministry for quite a while. And as part of kids ministry, you look up these little videos that teach the kids about who someone is. And oh my goodness, the pictures, the little cartoons they had of John and Baptist, he looked smelly. One of them had flies flying around him. He looked a bit crazy. And he lives in the wilderness in the desert and something seems to be going on. And oh my goodness, locusts here. Our young adults have had crickets before. Don't tell me why, they're crazy. But locusts, oh my goodness, that does not sound like my choice of preferred diet. But when I think about John, my brain instantly goes to this picture of a man who's a little bit crazy. And I've been thinking about that and I'm like, to be honest, I think we all have to be a little bit crazy to be used by God. We're choosing to trust someone totally beyond our comprehension, even though there are so many ways that we can see who God is, with someone totally beyond the power scaling of this world, someone who is infinite, who is unimaginable, who is incredible, yet who is revealed in Jesus. I say you've got to be a little bit crazy to trust God. Because God does things in a different way to the rest of the world. In so many ways, following the ways of the world make sense to our heads. We like it. We enjoy it. It's one of those things that we believe is that, oh my goodness, we just need this, we need this, we need this. That makes sense to us. But what we really need is Jesus. Jesus, the image of the invisible God. And with that, again, I want to speak out the scripture. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. Did you read that with me? There was a man sent from God. Oh, thank you so much. This crazed man who wears camel's hair, lives in the wilderness, and eats wild locust is sent by God. That is one powerful, powerful endorsement. When I look at my circumstances and the situations I'm dealing with in my life, I can tell you that if I was confident that God was sending me into those places, that would dramatically change how I would do my life. Think of your own lives. Think of how you operate as a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, in the workforce, around friends, in your studies. If you knew that you were sent by God into the situations that you face in your life, that would change things. That confidence, knowing that you walk with God's authority, that you walk with His protection, that you work with His approval and His love, that would change things. And so when we see who John is, we need to remember that he is a man sent from God. One of the ways that we see this is in prophecy. Now, I would love to go into the beautiful, beautiful imagery of this prophecy with you, but that's in the six-hour lecture version, so you're going to have to look this up for yourself. So the areas that I want to focus on are this. Prepare the way for the Lord, and I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. That was what prophecy is spoken over John in the Old Testament. You see, it's a pretty rare thing for the Old Testament to talk about someone in the New Testament. You've got John, you've got Jesus, and then you've got maybe one or two other people, and that's kind of it. But John was someone who was promised to prepare the way before me. Now, this here is a bit of an issue here with the in his footsteps topic that we're looking at right now, because the simple truth is that John the Baptist did not follow in Jesus' footsteps. He did not. He came before Jesus. He prepared the way for Jesus. Yet that is something very, very special and I think important for each of us. And for what was his way of doing this? Reading on in John, it says, he came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. I just love this description of who John is. And do you want to know why I love this description of who John is? Is this is also a description of each of us and who we are called to be. We are called to bear witness to Jesus, to give testimony of who he is to the people around us, so that they might come and believe in him. God intends to use us as his vessels. We're called, our church denomination is called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Do you want to know the middle name of that? Missionary. That is someone who goes with the purpose of being sent to share the gospel. Now, I'm just talking about all over the world, although we need that. I'm talking about to people, you know, your friends, your family, your workmates, every single person around you that does not know the love of God needs to know the love of God. And like John was sent, I believe that God is sending each and every one of us as well. I just love this. I love this so much. My joy, I've realized so much of my greatest joys is when I get to tell people about Jesus. I just get excited when people discover the wonder of what I have and the wonder of my relationship with Jesus. And I couldn't be selfish with that and just want for myself. Jesus is so good that I want every single person around me to know the same joy and more that I have discovered in my relationship with God. You see, John was someone who was sent by God. What I want you to do is I want you to turn to your neighbor right now and I want you to say this. Tell them this truth. You are sent by God. Oh, that was interesting. I'm really glad you did that, but from up the front here, it felt more like murmur and uncertainty. It felt a bit like, Jordan's telling me I'm sent from God. I think there's something about that in the scriptures. I can't ignore that. But you know what? I'm not confident in that you guys got that here. But with that, I want to explore a little bit of John here again to encourage you in terms of what this is. The next verse says, verse 8, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to light. Now, the important thing here in John's gospel is John's gospel is not getting us to ask the question, who is John the Baptist? John's gospel is asking us the question, who is Jesus? And making us decide that answer to that question. And the thing here is, we are not the light either. You see, we're not. We're not the light. Well, kind of technically we are in some ways because Jesus lives inside of us. The Holy Spirit lives inside each and every one of us. But I'll tell you what that means for each of us. What that means for each of us is that little murmur of uncertainty, that little murmur of, oh, I'm not sure if I'm that sent by God. We don't have to rely on ourselves. We have to rely on Jesus. John came before Jesus to make a way for him. We stand after Jesus, knowing the fullness of his story in the Gospels. We know who Jesus is. We may only have partly a picture. We only have a small insight considering the incredible wonder of Jesus. But nevertheless, we know who Jesus is. That's our unique identifier as Christians. Now, John was pretty cool. I'm going to go through the really, really summarized version of this here, just clarifying a bit more about John and who he was. But then I want to talk about us again. John was sent by God. He was sent as a prophet and had prophecies about him. He's a Levite. That means he's a part of God's special priesthood. John's father, not grandfather, was Zechariah, the high priest of the temple. Again, Jesus, let you do your thing, less of me. His birth was announced by an angel. And then there's these two really big ones at the moment. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Now, I may be wrong about this. I tried to think as hard as I could. I tried to check. I tried to listen. But I don't know anyone else prior to the time of Jesus that was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. There were people who got prayed over as babies and as children and encountered the Holy Spirit. But I can't think of anyone who had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit prior to their birth. I can think of one. Jesus. I can't think of very many others here. That's a powerful thing, to have access to the Holy Spirit. And one last thing, he was a cousin of Jesus. That meant he had a really, really close relationship with Jesus in so many ways. They were a close, close family. And from all this, we can only answer the question this way. Who is John the Baptist? John is someone with a calling from God Almighty. Again, I love this because you know what? That's each of us as well. You may not have had prophecy speaking about you before your birth. I don't think that happened to me. If anyone else that happened to hear, I'd love to hear the story later on and the rest of it. I got some Christians in my family, but they weren't a high priest. I was from a non-Christian family, so I'm nothing like a Levite. I'm a Gentile. I'm pretty sure most of us, if not all of us, are Gentiles at this point in time, people outside of God's original special people. But here's the thing. I may not have prophecy spoken over me prior to birth, but man, I have a lot of promises in scriptures that tells me who I am and what I'm here for. I may not have had my birth announced by an angel, but, well, I've got Jesus. And unlike John, I know the power of the cross and the resurrection. That's pretty dang cool. Oh, wow. But, oh my goodness. John was his own guy. John was famous beyond measure. There's certain historical sources, extra-biblical sources, that even suggest that at his time, the movement that John the Baptist led was actually more popular than the movement Jesus himself led. It's interesting because, well, eventually, of course, Christianity and Jesus surpasses everything, but Jesus' movement only really exploded relatively after his ascension into heaven. That's when the Christian church went crazy and started moving all over the world, something it continues to this very day. But John was famous. He was someone known and recognized by many. He had so many different followers. As he shared his message of repent for the kingdom of heaven has come near, so many people paid attention to him and came down to that place on the Jordan River that was where he was baptizing. He was a famous guy. He was a big guy. Man, the religious leaders, those people closest to God, came down to see him. And we know that by his death under Herod Antipas, that the literal highest in political authority knew his name. John was a famous, famous guy. So for me, as I've discovered this, it's hard to picture John as the weird, smelly guy from the desert who tends to wear camel's hair and eat wild locusts. I'm assuming they're wild locusts. Oh, man. But here's the thing. John was such a big guy. He was such a famous guy. But in John's gospel, I've got to bring you back to Jesus because John knows this. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to be a witness to testify concerning the light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone into the coming into the world. He was in the world. This is speaking about Jesus now. And through the world, though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That astounds me. Jesus made the world and no one knew that he did. Yet to all, He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, not of human decision or humans of a husband's will, but born of God. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. John's a famous guy. He's come with a powerful message, with a call to turn back to God. But I'll tell you what, he's not the light. He's not Jesus. Jesus is full of grace and truth. I got to tell you, I often struggle going through things in life. I hope you guys don't think that as a leader of this church, I have it all together. I don't. I really, really don't. None of us do. But I have Jesus. I have the day-by-day grace that he has provided to us. And I have the truth of his word. The truth of his life. This series is called In His Footsteps. And we're not called to follow in John's footsteps. We're called to follow in Jesus' footsteps. If we read in the next part of this chapter that John quotes John the Baptist directly. See, I told you I'd get tongue-tied. John testified concerning, he cried out saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, he who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me." John recognized the wonder of Jesus in his lifetime. He came as someone sent by God for the purpose of giving testimony of who Jesus was. And what does he say in this testimony? That Jesus has surpassed him because he is the God who came before all and created the world. To recognize oneself in relation to God is a powerful thing. John recognizes that he is not of the same worth of Jesus, and he humbles himself. He speaks in a way of the highest reverence, a reverence for God that we all need to have. There was a man sent from God. His name was John. There is a man called Jordan. He is sent by God too. There's a man called Ben, a woman called Helen, a lady called Anne, and so forth and so forth. We are all sent by God. But unless we have the humility and reverence to recognize God above ourselves, we're not going to be functional in that mission of sharing who Jesus is and giving testimony for him. John was a famous guy, but he humbled himself and recognized that Jesus was the one who had it all. All the kingdom, all the glory, forever and ever. Amen. He was sent from God to tell people about Jesus. But with this, I haven't even mentioned the most beautiful moment in John's life. John, of course, was the one to baptize the very Son of God, Jesus. This is such a beautiful moment for John, a moment where the heavens open up and God confirms who his Son is. And what a wonderful moment that John got to serve our Lord, our God. But this moment of beauty fails in comparison to the cross, the cross that each and every one of us knows as a Christian. John didn't know of the cross. He didn't know of the resurrection, and he didn't know of God's plan. But we ourselves have this beautiful moment where we see how Jesus was sent for our sake, and so we are now sent like him to share the word of God with those people around us. Let me pray. God, John's baptism was such a beautiful moment. I can't help but crave for my own beautiful moments with you as I seek to serve you and share the gospel of faith. Lord, I ask for each and every single person that you would help us humble ourselves, that you would help us get off the center of our own life and put you, Jesus, in the middle of all we have. Jesus, you lived a servant life and you came before us, even to the point of giving your life on a cross for us all. Lord, I ask for an increased revelation of this wonder for every single person here, so that your joy may be complete in each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.